2:5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So our message this Sabbath is entitled, The War for Your Mind. The War for Your Mind. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to study your word. We thank you for your goodness, Lord, and your grace. Once again, Lord, I ask that you make me just a nail hammered into the wall by the Holy Spirit. And upon that nail, Lord, I ask that you hang a portrait of Jesus Christ. Let Eric Walsh not be seen or heard. Instead, Father, right now we need to hear a word from the throne room of grace. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bible, go with me to the book of Revelation. We're going to start in Revelation. Both sessions, we will deal with prophecy. I don't know how you get this thing to work regularly here. There we go. And Revelation 7 and verse 1, it says this. And after these things, I saw four angels. How many angels did John see? Four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. The Bible starts the seventh division of the book of Revelation with a powerful statement. In fact, God has a safety mechanism on earth. Don't miss this. If the full weight of sin was to be, and its consequences were to be released on planet earth, life would not be possible. So God has angels who literally day and night are holding back the winds of strife. Verse 2. And I saw another angel ascending from the east. This is the fifth angel in the story, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. So the four angels are holding back the winds. A fifth angel pops up, and he now, in verse 3, begins to speak to the four angels. And he says to them, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their what? In their foreheads. Now, here's where the story gets interesting. What is required to keep earth safe, or what is required before destruction is released on earth after it's been kept safe, is that there has got to be a group of people who have the seal of God. There's got to be a group of people that are different from everyone else. This, if you did the Sabbath school lesson on Exodus, this should remind you of the Passover. There are going to be folk that effect is going to be on that individual. It should remind you of Ezekiel chapter 9, where they also had a seal. There are places in the Bible that there are folk who are set apart, and God protects them. Here the Bible says the earth cannot be destroyed. Or I should say disaster in its full weight cannot come until God's people are sealed. So here's the question. It says in their foreheads, if you just read this superficially, you think what we mean is the skin over your eyes. Let me submit to you that when the Bible talks about a forehead, it is speaking of something much more deep, something far more profound. And let me show you what I mean. So if you look here, this is a picture of the frontal lobe. And this is the part of the brain that is controlled, that controls character and personality. This is where all of that sits. Who you are is literally in your frontal lobe. Let me say it again. Everything about you, this is where it happens. And the human brain is about 33% frontal lobe. So when you look at the human brain, it's 33% frontal lobe. The next smartest animals after humans are porpoises and chimpanzees. The porpoise in the chimpanzee's brain is only 13% frontal lobe. See the difference? We're 33%. Where does the Bible tell you that there such a difference would occur? Way back in Genesis, in the creation, it tells you that man was made in the image of who? I want to submit to you that part of what makes you in the image of God is the fact that you have a functioning and an appropriate frontal lobe. Because the frontal lobe is where your character sits. But it is also what allows you to worship. Now, so let me show you some of the functions of the frontal lobe. So you can see all the different animals. You see cats and all those there. But the frontal lobe is important for reasoning. Reasoning, judgment, planning, motor function, even social and sexual behavior is all controlled in the frontal lobe of the brain. This is critical and important because it is where the reasoning centers of the mind are. And here's the kicker. You cannot be saved if you are unreasonable. You cannot be saved if you can't reason. Somebody say, oh, back that up. Isaiah 118 says, what is Isaiah 118? Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be like wool. It is this part of the brain that makes you realize your condition and your need for Christ. If this part of the brain is damaged, you will be in a state where you think you are all right when you are all wrong. So, if you've ever taken psychology, for all the kids here that are going to take psychology in college or in high school, there's a famous case that how we figured this out. This is a guy named Phineas Gage. Some of you remember this story. You can see that picture on the right. He had a steel beam go through the front of his head from a railroad track. I think it was from a railroad track, and it went through his head. And you see how it wiped out his frontal lobe, wiped out his left eye. And here's why this was important. This was when science and medicine in America figured out that this part of the brain, if it's damaged, will change who you are. He was a reserved, polite gentleman before the accident. He was a unrestrained. He was quick to tell people off, used a lot of profanity. His family says he was a completely different person. Why? Because the part of his brain that held who he was had been knocked out. So, let me spoiler alert you. Satan wants to knock out your frontal lobe. He wants to knock out the part of your brain that allows you to be Christian. Now, so this is from 9 functions of the prefrontal cortex. So we talk about the frontal lobe, but even in front, at the very front of the frontal lobe is the part of the brain called the prefrontal cortex. The most sophisticated part. When Ellen White talks about the lower passions and that we should function in the higher parts, this is what she means. As you go away from the brainstem and you go towards the front of your head, that's where most of your intellect sits. Remember this part of the third, this 33% of your brain is frontal lobe. When you get to the front of it, you reach the prefrontal cortex. Here's the kicker. So when the Bible says that you are to be sealed in their forehead, literally what the Bible is saying is your prefrontal cortex in your frontal lobe must be stamped by God. Let's get into it. So, a little bit more science. I'm a medical doctor, so I'd like to give you a little bit of science with this. And some of you kids here are going to go on to be great missionary doctors and go all over the world. So, this is just prep work for you. Here we go. Neurobiologist Daniel Siegel identifies 9 unique functions of the prefrontal cortex. He says, when we perceive danger, we flip our lid. The rational prefrontal cortex goes offline, and the primitive, more fast-acting limbic system temporarily takes over. This is what Ellen White refers to when she talks about the lower passions. Imagine the impact on our ability to navigate relationships without the 9 functions. So, fear will cause you to, as this author says, this writer says, the scientist says, flip your lid. And then you no longer function in the part of your frontal lobe where you can reason. Don't miss this. This is why fear is not a characteristic of the Christian. This is why 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a what? A sound mind. This is why Paul says perfect love does what? Casts out all fear. Because it is fear that will immobilize the part of your brain needed to choose Christ. Why does that make sense? Because often, if not always, choosing Christ is the more difficult choice. It is the seemingly the more risky choice. It is the less comfortable choice. If you can't get over fear, Satan will paralyze you on a basic level and cause you to make the wrong decision. All right, so what are some of these 9 functions? I won't go into all of this, but I'll just show you the prefrontal cortex, body regulation, so your heart, your breathing, your digestion, But if you drop down, you'll see intuition, empathy, emotional balance. The last one says what? Morality. Literally, your morality sits here. Your ability to do good or bad. And so we as Christians, and let me tell you something. I am an 1888 righteousness by faith type of guy. So we believe in righteousness by faith. How does that play into this? Let's see. Well, let me just show this verse so we can see it all together. You need this part of the brain because it says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That's what it's important for. So who does this sealing? Well, Ephesians 1:13, this is important. In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, that's the Bible, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed. Once you believed in the word you believed, the Bible says you were sealed. Who did the sealing? That Holy Spirit of promise. Watch this. Without the Holy Spirit, you will not be sealed. It is the Holy Spirit that takes control of the frontal lobe and the prefrontal cortex so you can behave like a Christian. It isn't your power that does it, it's His power. But if your frontal lobe is damaged, you can't and won't allow the Holy Spirit to fully take over. So let's look at some more. Here's what Ellen White says on this subject. She says, and from letter 126, 1898, she says, what is the seal of the living God, which is placed in the foreheads of His people? It is a mark which angels, but not human eyes, can read. For the destroying angel must see this mark of redemption. Ah, righteousness by faith is right in the seal of God. The seal of God is a sign that you have been redeemed. Isn't that powerful? Doesn't it make more sense now, Revelation 7, 1 through 3? That's why the angels that are holding back the winds of strife are told, you can't do nothing, you can't let go until they're sealed in their foreheads. Why? Because they have been redeemed. They're not supposed to be destroyed in the destruction that's coming. She says, just as soon as the people of God are sealed in their foreheads, it is not any seal or mark that can be seen, but a settling into the truth, both intellectually and spiritually, so that they what? So that they cannot be moved. Did you get that? Not only is it a seal that you don't have fear, not only is it a seal done by the Holy Spirit, not only is it a seal, as we just said before, of your redemption, it is a seal that you can't be moved. I hope you're starting to get this. The seal of the living God is a statement that you are so anchored in God that no matter what the devil throws at you, you will not move. This is why, after the close of probation, when Satan has full fury and the four winds have been let go and Satan can do all he can, the people of God will not, cannot fail. So watch this. She says, she goes on, Ellen White says, just as soon as God's people are sealed and prepared for the shaking, it will come. Indeed, it has begun already. The judgments of God are now upon the land to give us warning that we may know what is coming. So we're going to tie this into prophecy this afternoon. The seal of God and the judgments that are coming go together. Look at Ephesians 4 and verse 30. Ephesians 4 and verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. When we talk about the seal of God, the Bible says, be careful that you do not grieve the Holy Spirit. You know there are folk grieving the Holy Spirit right now? One of the ways we're grieving the Holy Spirit is not just that we're rejecting the Holy Spirit's call for us to be Christians and for us to live a better life. We're grieving the Holy Spirit because many times we are being taught now that the Holy Spirit is not the third part of the Godhead. People have become anti-Trinitarian and they're teaching that in fact the Holy Spirit is more like the force from Star Wars than like the third part of the Godhead that the Bible teaches it is. And that, let me make it clear, that He is, because He has a personhood. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot be sealed. This is one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit is under attack. The very doctrine of the Holy Spirit is under attack. Because there's another thing that the Holy Spirit does. If you're worried about, you know, my family comes from a little island in the Caribbean called Jamaica. And in Jamaica, they have a thing called Obia. It's, some places they call it voodoo, some places they call it Santeria. No matter where you go, it's really all the same thing. And those women would come after my grandmother When my grandmother, they became Adventists a long time ago in Jamaica, and they would come after my grandmother, and my grandmother would tell us stories of how the Obia ladies would come after her, and they would, my mother and my aunts would tell me the story of being in the house, and you could hear horses running around the house, and when you looked out the windows, there were no horses running. And eventually they would hear horses running above the house. No horses. And my grandmother would have them pray all night and pray for the protection of the angels and of the Holy Ghost. All night it would go on. Nothing happened. My grandmother said, I remember her telling me the story. She would go, the next day she was out putting clothes on the line, and one of those ladies came up to my grandmother and she said, "Mrs., what kind of Obi are you working?" Translate that. What kind of magic are you doing? Because the lady said, everything we tried to do to you, it came back on us. My grandmother said to her, "Ma'am, I don't do magic. I serve the living God." You know what the Old Testament prophet says? He says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. If the devil is messing with you, it may be because you don't have the Spirit of the Lord lifting up the standard the way he's supposed to. And you can't have the Holy Spirit lifting up the standard if you don't believe in the Holy Spirit. She says this, Ellen White says, the mighty power of the Holy Spirit works in an entire transformation in the character of the human agent. When a man is filled with the Spirit, the more severely he is tested and tried, the more clearly he proves that he is a representative of Christ. The peace that dwells in the soul is seen on the countenance. The words and actions express the love of the Savior. There is no striving for the highest place. Self is renounced. The name of Jesus is written on all that is said and done. You hear what I said? The name of Jesus is written on all that is said and done. She says, we may talk of the blessing of the Holy Spirit, but unless we prepare ourselves for its reception, of what avail are our works? Are we striving with all our power to attain to the stature of men and women in Christ? Are we seeking for his fullness, ever pressing toward the mark set before us? What is the mark set before us? The perfection of his character. You go throughout Christendom now, these mega churches, you guys in Texas got some mega churches, boy. Let me tell you something. I said, man, I went to Houston and went to Joel Osteen, now he got a whole basketball stadium. But guess what? It doesn't mean anything to have all those numbers if the people in the church do not have the character of Christ. And folk aren't preaching this anymore. Let me tell you something. You didn't get called out of sin to live a sinner. You got called out of sin to live a righteous life in Christ Jesus. Look at what she says. She said, when the Lord's people reach this mark, they will be sealed in their foreheads, filled with the Spirit. They will be complete in Christ, and the recording angel will declare. What will the recording angel declare? It is finished. When God's people reach the right mark, when we are filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. Let me do a little commercial on the side here. This is why there's so much division in the church. This is why there's so much fighting in the church. This is why, and I just did a sermon at Loma Linda, and I talked about over the last 6 years, almost every summer or just after the summer, an issue has come up that has caused the church to go to war. Whether it was George Floyd in 2020 or if it was Charlie Kirk in 2025, everything happens, the church divides. Satan looks for the weak points in the church. One of them is political parties. One of them is racial division. All these things. And Satan pushes on the weak points because Satan understands that a divided church cannot receive the Holy Ghost. Read the book of Acts. It says they were in one accord in one place. That's when the early rain fell. Satan does not want the work to be finished. He's mad, Revelation 12:12 said, because he knows he has only what? A short time. Look at what Jesus says, John 6. John 6 and verse 27 says, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father done what? He sealed. He sealed the one that is on the right mission. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19 says this. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Christ do what? Depart from iniquity. Here's the dilemma. You ever wonder why? You go to other parts of the world, Christians are persecuted. We've been to India, China, certain parts of Africa. We've been all around the world. And you see in certain parts of the world, even in some Central South American places, if you're a Protestant Christian, you could be persecuted. Why has the persecution not reached the church in America? Ellen White makes it clear, because the church in America looks just like the world. I hired an Indian young lady when I was running the clinics up in Connecticut, and she was from India. She was a Christian, and we were talking about Christianity, the difference between America and India. And she said, in India, this is how they describe American Christianity. They say it's 1 million miles wide and 1 inch deep. We watch, and we're going to talk about what you watch and what you listen to this afternoon. Talk about Kendrick Lamar and Taylor Swift, all these people. Come back this afternoon. Let me tell you what happens. If you feed yourself the same diet in terms of what your mind is taking in as the world does, it is no doubt you're going to be like the world. All right. And what is it supposed to really point to? Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 4 says this, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be where? In their foreheads. What does name represent in the Bible? Character. Are you starting to get it now? The seal of God is a statement that God's name is written in your forehead. God's name represents God's character. The seal of God says we have the character of Christ. So let me make this a little more plain. It says here, for your name to be written in the Lamb's book of life, his name must be written where? In your forehead. Let me ask you a tough question right now. Is Christ's name written in your forehead? All right, so just to make it plain, I like equations. So I'll throw this one up here. Christian character equals the seal of God equals the name of God. Did you get that? Christian character is the seal of God. So some people say, well, what about the Sabbath? The Sabbath is the seal. Well, of course the Sabbath is the seal. Makes sense. It's all one thing. You would not obey the Sabbath in a hostile world if you didn't have the character of Christ. Amen? So the Sabbath is really the outward expression of your inward sealing. The keeping of the Sabbath. That's why I tell people now, you listen, if you can't keep the Sabbath now in time of peace, how are you going to keep the Sabbath when the war comes? All right, so, but, church, there is another mark. There's another one. And this one, this time of the year, you see this number a lot, Halloween. The mark of the beast can also be placed in the forehead. So there are folk who are going to choose, make a reasoning decision, and accept the way of the enemy, right? Now, let me just put in another commercial. Our children should be very careful, parents. Your children do not participate in Hollywood and Halloween. I meant Halloween, but Hollywood too. Be careful. The Satanists are out now. Now that you got the internet, they're happy. They said, Antoine Levine has a great statement. He said, we want to thank all the Christian parents who allow their children to worship the devil once a year on Halloween. The mark of the beast and what the devil is going after us with is serious. If you go to Revelation chapter 13, I don't know if somebody's up there can help me because this thing doesn't click all the time. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. So there's two places you can get it. And here's what that mark says. It says, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Did you notice that? We always talk about the number of the beast. We always talk about the 666. But I want you to notice here that one of the things that you get is the number of his name or the name of the beast itself. What does name represent? Character. Look at verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. When you really study this, and we don't have time to get into this, but when you really study this, you can directly have the name of the beast in your forehead. So when you look at that as an equation, or as a kind of outline, that the mark of the beast is Satan's character. And what does Satan's character represent? Lawlessness and rebellion. So somebody said, well, what about Sunday keeping? Here's what the spirit of prophecy says. So just to make it plain, Sunday keeping is not yet the mark of the beast and will not be until the decree goes forth, causing men to worship this idol Sabbath. The time will come when this day will be the test, but that time has not come yet. It's not the test yet. Right now, minds are being prepared to either to receive one of the two marks, because minds are being prepared either to obey God no matter what the world says and keep the Sabbath, or to go along with the world, either in recognizing it mentally or by following the world if they get it in their hand and keeping the Sunday. Let me tell you, and I don't have time to get into this today, but let me throw this at you. We have never in America been in a position where we could have a Sunday law like we do right now. I have sermons I do on what Project 2025 represents, how successful they are in getting it moved, and the fact that a Sunday law, a change to the federal labor standards law, is written right into Project 2025. That would make it so that Sunday has to become a special day where it's harder for people to work. Let me tell you something. Playtime is over, church. We've got to be serious about our walk with Christ, because as we're going to talk about this afternoon, we are in an age of deception. The hand, are for those who did not choose but followed. You know how you know how somebody becomes big and famous nowadays? They have these influencers. I don't really get into all that stuff. They have these influencers, and the way that the influencers have recognition and status is that the influencer has a lot of followers. Isn't that interesting? We are literally training a generation, or many generations now, to follow people. And it's sad, because I see people are no longer critically thinking. In the 2016 election, they showed that people, before they voted, they looked to see what their influencer was going to do. Then they made their decision. People are, and they're not thinking. Let me show you some from Psychology Today on this. This is the science behind why people follow the crowd. So why do other people influence us so much? This is important if you're going to be a Christian. You got to recognize that this is what you don't want to do, or you will not use your frontal lobe and get that mark in your hand. So it says here, clearly other affects our behavior. One reason for this is that we live in a complex world. We use the decisions of others as a heuristic or mental shortcut to navigate our lives. English philosopher and mathematician Alfred North Whitehead once said, civilization advances by extending the number of operations we can perform without thinking about them. Watch this, church. The devil wants you to live without thinking, because thinking is reasoning. He wants you to take a shortcut and say, you know what? I'm just going to live like everybody else live. I'm going to do what everybody does. If everybody likes this, it must be the right thing. We went into a restaurant the other day, and the lady had on an Eagles hat and an Eagles shirt, and she was the one welcoming people into the restaurant. I said, you're a brave lady in Dallas, Texas, to be wearing an Eagles shirt. She said, I don't care what everybody does. I root for my team. Let it not be that people are more brave for their sports team than you are for Christ. But it affects us. We're going to talk more about this afternoon. But what the devil does is he brings us in. This is the Beehive. This is Beyonce and the Swifties, the heartbeat of music superfans. I read this article, and it talks about the passion people have for these artists now. That they follow them. I think Taylor Swift just came out with a movie, and I was watching on the news, and people cut work, and they dumb enough to cut work and then go on the camera and say they cut work to go watch the movie. And so they, you know, they have to have more and more, and they elevate these folk higher and higher and higher. But let me warn you, Satan can elevate folk for you to follow. I'm not a fan of anybody. The only person I'll ever be a fan of is Jesus Christ, because he's the only one died for me. These stars, they don't even know who you are. Ellen White says it like this. She says, "What are you doing, brethren? In the great work of preparation, those who are uniting with the world are receiving the worldly mold and preparing for the mark of the beast." Did you get that? Let me explain how serious this is, and we'll get more into it this afternoon. Everything you do, your mind is either being prepared to receive the seal of God or the mark of the beast. Isn't that crazy? Everything you do, every commercial you watch, every song you listen to, every movie you watch, TV show, every little video on TikTok, Satan is so astute. He is working every time you watch something like that to prepare your mind to be in rebellion against God. So what does he do? Well, I'll tell you, he divides. One of the things he does, he does the political divide. You see, in America, people are so divided. He sets up the racial divide. Folk fighting over issues that you would think we would have resolved decades ago, and still it's being fought over. But here's what Ellen White says. She says, "Those who are distrustful of self, who are humbling themselves before God and purifying their souls by obeying the truth, they are receiving the heavenly mold and preparing for the seal of God in their foreheads." So if you are not careful, the question then becomes, what are you exposing yourself to? What are you exposing yourself to? Are you being careful with what you allow yourself to be exposed to? 1 Corinthians 6:19 says it like this. "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are" what? "You're not your own." Now here's where it gets interesting. If I had time, we'd break this down. But your body, if you lay out the human body, it lays out like the sanctuary. Did you know that? In fact, you do it the courtyard is the physical, the tabernacle is the mental, and the most holy place in the tabernacle is the spiritual. That's the one way you can lay out the sanctuary. The second thing is, when you look at the sanctuary, you enter into his courts with thanksgiving and into his gates with praise. That's, you know, coming in through the mouth, the nose, the ears, how you get in. But the digestive tract is the first thing you reach. It's the brazen altar where the sacrifice for sin was made. And you couldn't put anything unclean on that altar, just like you shouldn't put anything unclean in your body. And when you go past that, there's a brazen laver where you wash. That represents the circulatory system in the body, where you wash yourself clean. The priests had to do that before they could go into the tabernacle. When you get into the first chamber, the holy place, each piece represents, the showbread is like the hearing and understanding. And we could go through it all. But what is important is the frontal lobe then would be the most holy place. Now let me ask you something. Could the priest just anytime he wanted in his chucks and his jeans, could he just walk into the most holy place? No. The priest had to wash a special way. He had to put on certain clothing. He had to pray and deal with his own sin before he walked into the most holy place. What would happen if he walked into the most holy place and he had not done what he's supposed to do? He could die. How often could he go into the most holy place? Once a year. Let me ask you a question then. If the frontal lobe of your brain and the prefrontal cortex is the most holy place in your body, why do we just let everything in it? You see, this, if you look, you can see it in the picture there. Over the mercy seat is that light. That light represents the Shekinah glory of God, is his presence, his Holy Spirit. And I talked about the Holy Spirit already. In your mind, what is supposed to be in control is the Holy Spirit. It is like the Shekinah glory sitting in the frontal lobe of your brain. And there's neurochemical changes through neurotransmitters like GABA, which is one of the neurotransmitters that keep you controlled. We'll talk about this afternoon. But when you drink alcohol or smoke marijuana, it's GABA that's wiped out. Your ability to be influenced by the Holy Spirit is neurophysiologically diminished under the influences of drugs and alcohol. And let me throw this one in there. And pornography. And sexual sin. It is wiped out. The Holy Spirit can't work. But guess what? The demonic spirits can. I saw when you go to a liquor store, somewhere in there, there's usually a sign that says spirits sold here. The Shekinah glory of God falls. This is where sin is dealt with, a most holy place. So when Paul talks about your mind, he says it like this. In Isaiah 59, 17, he says, "For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of what? Salvation upon his head." Why? Because this is where salvation happens. It has to be protected. And when you go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, it says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Right? The helmet of salvation protects your head. Three times in the Bible, it actually talks about this. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8, it says, "But let us who of the day be what?" You see the connection? Getting high is antithetical to salvation. Because you lose the ability to reason. I tell a story all the time. I had one cousin, he liked to drink. And then, you know, back when I would go out with him to parties and clubs and stuff, and I never drank. Being raised Adventist, I went off the path, but I never got into it. But when my cousin, we'd go out and he'd start drinking, guess what he want to do? Fight. And this dude, I mean, he's not a small dude, but he would pick the fight with the biggest brother in the place. And your cousin, so you can't like just let him fight, like you can't let your cousin get whooped. So you gotta jump into the fight. I told him after, I said, "Listen, man, I ain't going out with you no more, man. My name ain't Mike Tyson. I'm tired of this, man. We WWE fighting everywhere you go. If you're not sober, the devil takes control. The helmet of the hope of salvation." So what must we do? We must defend our minds. We're gonna pick this up this afternoon. I'll do a few more slides now. We'll pick this up this afternoon because we're gonna go into more detail, especially for the young people, on what you need to do for the mind. So Ellen White says here, Adventist home, page 403, "Those who would not fall prey to Satan's devices must guard well the avenues of the soul. They must avoid reading, seeing, or hearing that which will suggest impure thoughts." Did you get that? If you have not, go on Audioverse, write down this name, David Ng. NG is his last name, from Malaysia. Last name is NG. Ng. Go there and watch his two series on spiritual warfare. The first one he does, I think, in Tennessee. That's the 6-part one. He talks about how the demons, his testimony is powerful. He gives a testimony of how his There are 70 Adventist married couple, how his wife becomes possessed by the devil, or with a demon, I should say. And he tells you how he overcomes that and how to protect yourself and your family. Very powerful. But one of the things he says is the demons like to place thoughts in your mind. The thought in your mind that you're not worthy of God's love is not your thought. The devil planted that there. The thought in your mind that you'll never be able to do what God has asked you to do is the devil's thought. Here it is. And he is better. We'll talk about it this afternoon. His best way to plant those thoughts in your mind is through television and music. Teenagers think that when they start listening to all this music, they think, well, this is my music. And all of a sudden you start losing interest in church and godly things. And you don't realize it isn't your thoughts that make you not want to go to church anymore or not want to participate. Literally, it's the thoughts the demons put in the music. She continues, "The mind must not be left to dwell at random upon every subject that the enemy of souls may suggest. The heart must be faithfully sentineled, or evils without will awaken evils within, and the soul will do what? Wander in darkness." She says, Satan stands ready to infatuate the mind and soul to pursue a course directly contrary to God's expressed will, that he may separate that soul from God, and he interposes his temptations and gains control over the mind and the heart's affections. She says, this is Satan's studied plan. What is Satan's studied plan? To lead souls to turn from one mighty in counsel to the persuasion of minds who have no love for God, no love for the truth. Satan wants you following people who don't know God, don't love God, like Kendrick Lamar, like Taylor Swift, like Beyonce. They say whatever they want. I'm going to show you this afternoon. When you follow them, you are allowing other spirits to begin to plant thoughts in your mind. Marriages have been destroyed simply because of what people watch and listen to. Our scripture reading again. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something. If you have not experienced the love of God, if you do not know what it's like to have him in your heart, now is the time. Church, Jesus is about to return. The signs are being fulfilled all around us. Playtime is over. And we've got to begin to cultivate the kind of character, the kind of mind that is going to be able to stand when the whole world is against us. It's funny, the devil's got us fighting each other now, but watch how quick everything changes when we become public enemy number one. And I don't know if you're noticing it on social media now, more and more sites are almost their only production. The only thing they put out is stuff against Adventists. There's a steamroll happening where we are beginning to be called, more and more be called a cult. More and more of our doctrines are being questioned. People who we thought were great lights, as Ellen White said, they have gone out. But will your anchor hold? Will you be able to stand when what's about to happen happens? Are you ready for Jesus to come? Or will you have the mind of this world? Or will you have the mind of Christ? If you want the mind of Christ, I want you to just stand with me as we close and pray and close out this session. Father God, we thank you for your word and for your truth. That, Lord, there is a seal of God and there is a mark of the beast. Lord, as we'll talk about more this afternoon, I am praying, Lord, that we would all make a decision to receive your seal by the power of your Holy Spirit. Let not self, let not pride get in the way of what you're doing for us, Lord. But Lord, when we doubt, let us turn our eyes to Jesus and look full in your wonderful face. When we doubt, Lord, let us think, contemplate the cross and what you did when you died for us on Calvary's tree. Help us, Lord, not to lean onto our own understanding, but Lord, let us look into the perfect face, the perfect love of Jesus Christ, so that by beholding, we might be changed. This is our prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Let the church say amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listing of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website, or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry, as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.